Welcome to Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Tabitha.
And I'm Chris.
And Chris is back, and we're talking about minute 5 of Mission Impossible 2. Uh-oh, something bad's about to happen, guys. Everybody's being knocked out by this gas, and this minute begins with more people passing out. And then ends with the almost reveal of our bad guy. It's so close. Basically, Ethan Hunt rips his face off.
No, Ethan, why?
That wasn't Ethan Hunt the whole time.
That's some bad gas.
Oh, man, I took some gas on a plane. I watched Tom Cruise rip his face off. Face off.
It would have been great if he was Nicolas Cage underneath that. I think that would have been awesome. And Nicolas Cage was actually the bad guy in this movie. That's what we need.
Oh, that'd be so good. That's inspired, like, cliffhanger having John Lithgow as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those ones where you're like, yes, that's the kind of bad guy I want. This Friday begins with the plane hurtling toward the mountain. Everybody's passed out. The doctor is not looking too good. He's clutching his bag, his satchel. He's now figured out, I think they're coming after him.
Yeah, he's kind of freaking out a little bit. Yep. He's like, oh no, the poopy cans are not good.
There's something wrong with these poopy cans. Ethan sits back down and looks at him and he says, Dimitri. And Ethan's got this evil look on his face. It's like, why do you keep calling me that? Actually, he says, you keep calling me Dimitri. You really shouldn't. And then he karate chops the doc right in the throat. Kills him dead right there. That's one of my favorite moves in movies is the karate chop to the. It's better than the karate chop to the Kirk to the back of the neck, which makes no sense. The one to the front, you're like, okay, he just broke his windpipe or smashed his windpipe.
Gross.
It's almost as good as the Roadhouse one where he rips it out.
Oh yeah, that's fingers.
That's the thing right there.
That's a good one. That actually reminds me because I actually have. Do you guys have your favorite neck snaps? I have some, and I put some in my notes.
Oh, which are they? What are they?
Let's get to that in a second. Right before, after he karate chops the doctor in the throat, the rest of the henchmen walk up, and they're all in skydiving outfits. Wallace is in one. Hugh's in one. Hugh's climbing down to get in one, and we see a third henchman. We find out his name is Ulrich. So now we've got three henchmen and Ethan. After he kills the doc, he takes his head and breaks his neck. So he kills the doc twice. Do you think that first blow then just knocked him out?
Maybe.
If you get chopped in the neck, the way they play it, like it's like he killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know how that would knock you out. It seems like you'd be gasping for air or it would kill you, one or the other. Right.
Kill you because you can't breathe. Yeah, so yeah.
That would have played better if he'd been like, like sitting there, and then he grabs him and does the neck thing.
Maybe the neck thing was like a just in case it didn't completely kill him.
Maybe they knew it was just a little too brutal to show it that way. Here are my two of my favorite neck snappings, and they're done this way: the thing where you put your hands on either side and you kind of twist. First one is Jane Lynch in Collateral Damage. Which one? It's funny that Jane Lynch is in Collateral Damage as a FBI agent. It's the scene right when that he figures out the mother of the deaf girl who's been doing the sign language, that she's the bad woman. She's been the terrorist the whole time. And so the woman who they figure out is the terrorist is in the bathroom with Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch is standing there like as an agent just helping her. And she goes to like wash her face and then does that open-fisted uppercut to the face. Knocks Jane Lynch back and then takes her head and then cracks it and she falls over. And I'm like, that seemed like overkill. That's my first. My second is a deep dive into the Reese Witherspoon, Marky Mark movie, Fear. And it's the scene when the best friend of hers who had talked her out of dating him and he follows him into the woods and he walks up beside him. He's like, yeah, I used to be in juvie, and they put all these walls around me. And no, I did. I punched the walls until they were gone. And so basically he starts chasing him, and he takes the kid, throws him. The kid gets thrown through the air, and he lands on the ground, and then Marky Mark jumps on top of him, grabs his neck, and just twists it and breaks it. And I was always like, that's also a lot of overkill. So those are my two favorite neck snaps.
Those are two movies I've never seen.
Really?
Yeah. Same here. I've not seen either one of those movies. Now I don't have to.
Nope. Those are the next snaps.
I'm glad it means something to you, Jonathan.
Yes, it's very, very sweet.
Well, because every time I see that move, I'm always like, what if that really works?
Yeah.
I mean, it must.
He's going to have to try it one of these days. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yep. Chris, come here.
Probably the person would just be like, oh, thank you. I needed my neck adjusted.
Oh, my back feels so much better now.
Yeah. Thanks. And they just walk on and they'd be happy.
Well, this doc is not happy. Doc is dead for the second time. He's killed him twice already.
Even if that the neck chop didn't kill him, like, it seems like it's overkill anyway. Like,
yeah,
because he's, what does he think this guy's gonna do? Like, chase him down and fly through the skies with him? Or
yeah,
I mean, he's dead either way.
He could have just put the peak up over his face.
Yeah, he could have.
Can't even say up. That with a straight face.
Why is the peepee cup not on his face? Just put it on his face and then you're done.
And then he was done, and then he wouldn't be waking up, and
the plane was gonna go down anyway. So
right.
He's
all set.
Yeah, Ethan grabs the briefcase, stands up, looks at Wallace, hands it to Wallace, and then we get our first mask reveal. The first mask of the movie. Guys, there are going to be a lot of masks in this movie, so we're going to keep up with them all. Yeah. Let's do our tally sound for one. All right, there we go. And we've now got one mask. So we learn that this is not Ethan. Or Dimitri. He pulls the mask off, and unfortunately this minute ends exactly at the moment we're about to meet our bad guy. So all we see is the blurry profile of our bad guy. But we can talk about the mask and the way this mask worked and the way they changed how they were doing the mask technologies from one movie to the other. So
yes.
This one, this movie has a ton of masks. They've gotten rid of trying to put prosthetics on people and making them look stupid. The first movie was laughable. It took you out of the moment to see Tom Cruise dressed up like Foghorn Leghorn and then earlier as like some sort of Russian dude with a mustache. So this was much better. It's just him acting weird. Then they just have the way they did the mask in this movie is they had Tom Cruise hold his face. They now have tutorials. You can find them online. You can make your own You can make your own thing that does this. It's super easy. All you basically need is a plastic mask and just get a plastic mask and put dots on it so that you can line up the other person's face in software. And then what happens is you just morph and then halfway through, by the time you're done with the transition, it's the other guy's face. It's that simple. Mm. Wow. Super easy.
Yeah.
But at the time, they had never done this before, where they had a mapping technology that would map your face. He basically was wearing like a he was probably wearing like a green screen type of mocap mask with dots on it. And they had Tom Cruise have a rubber mask probably next to him, like near his neck. So what would happen is when he was pulling it off, it looked like, you know, there was a flap of skin and hair being pulled off. But it was just Tom Cruise's face. So it was a simple trick. This movie, we'll get to the credits. When we get to the credits, we'll talk about the visual supervisors and the people that did all the visual effects for this. But it's a great looking scene.
Yep.
And it's a fun opening to this movie because I didn't see it coming the first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it played really well. I remember the first audience I saw it with, and they went nuts when they realized what happened. And I saw it without an audience for the first time. That I saw it, and so it was surprising when I saw it for myself, but then watching it with an audience was even more fun because just knowing what was coming and then seeing them react was even better.
Yeah, and I really like, I mean, the technology, like you just talked about with them taking the mask off, how seamless they make it. They really do a good job.
Yeah, oh
yeah. Yeah, and they do it well, and they practice a bunch because they do this a ton in this movie.
Yeah. I think there's one really bad one later in the film, much later in the film, but that's the only one that I thought was like awful.
Wow. And I don't even think I picked that up.
Like, yeah.
And I think that also has to do with the lighting. This lighting is perfect because it's
inside,
a lot of light. It's actually funny. It doesn't work as well in the shadows.
No, when it's a running shot and the shadows, it's so bad. And I'm just like, oh, God, it's awful.
Yeah, it's that slow motion shot, right?
No,
it's he's not slow motion, but he's running.
He's running,
away.
Yeah. Through the shadows and light.
And that's impossible to mimic twice. So you can't quite. This is the perfect place to do it.
I mean, I'm sure nowadays, as we've seen, it's probably quite easy because it was in Fallout.
Well, nowadays they just do that like they did that in the last James Bond movie. They just digitally put a face on the stuntman.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which is, it's noticeable sometimes, but sometimes you're like, I have no idea that was
Like the Avengers movies, they have those MCU movies, they have these like fake masks that are like of the people, like made from the person's face that they mm-hmm. have the stunt people wearing so they can then digitally replace it later. So in wide shots, you can't even tell. It looks just like the person. It's kind of scary.
Which is where we're going with technology. Basically, yeah. we've built a mapping technology in movies where now we can smooth out people's faces to a degree that you can't even tell the difference.
No.
There are some things about this minute here. Well, first of all, his mask is pretty accurate that his mask also includes the center tooth. But
does the mask come with dentures, do you think, inside of it?
Yeah,
I think weird. in Mission Impossible 3, I think they gave him dentures for Philip.
Oh, that's right, they do.
Yeah, because I think he put us on some dentures for that in that one. But I don't know about the other movies. I don't remember. I know, and also in Ghost Protocol, they go back to the funny masks. You know, like putting prosthetics on Tom Cruise in order to make him look like somebody, which I thought was just, I don't know, that seemed a step backwards to me.
Well, now he's just too famous. He can't. Yeah. Not be in the movie. Yeah, exactly. Have some other dude playing him.
That's true.
Well, I'm glad to know that that was a mask, because Tom Cruise's hair can't possibly be that crazy and long. I'm sure once we actually see Ethan in this movie, he's going to have like his normal short hair. And
oh yeah, I'm sure the first shot of him is going to be completely sensible and yep. nothing crazy.
Oh yeah, it's probably nothing crazy at all.
Back
about
to
that
his
shot,
handsome you know? Short hair and yeah.
There's no way he could actually look more beautiful in the next shot in the for instance, I don't know. Let me pick a state, Utah.
Right.
There's no way he can look better than he does now.
No.
Right.
The fake mask.
He doesn't need long hair blowing in the wind. His short hair will be fine.
And some sort
in
of
slow
weird
motion.
Top.
Yeah, it's like. Ugh. No.
Now we do see that we get a couple of very quick shots of what do you call them? Not stewardesses but the airline hosts,
attendants
on the floor. They have their own personal, you know, because they're not tied in with everybody else with the seats. They have their own personal breathing apparatus. So these bad guys, I guess they filled all the canisters with the bad gas.
I think the bad gas goes to all the same places. It's just the kind of thing. Like theirs are the kind of ones you can wear. They could have worn those. I'm putting my hand over my mouth. That's terrible podcasting. They wear the ones that you can move around in.
So they're because, still like tethered in, basically.
Yeah, they've got like a hose that goes to it, but they're not. The cups, the pee cups, are useless. Like, if you get out of your seat, it will rip off and
be
gone.
Yeah, right.
I think they can move around with theirs on.
There is a guy in the one of the scenes, back row, center, right, and he's sleeping and his pee cup's not on his face. And
he's probably just asleep.
Oh, yeah, he was just asleep. We didn't need to worry
about
him.
Like, his neighbor tried to put it on him and it just didn't stick and he just stayed sleeping.
It's another heist that's going on in the same plane. He actually killed him to take what he wanted from him. So, yeah.
Oh, was Commando on there earlier and broke his neck at the beginning of the flight and then got out from through the wheel shaft? And that was 20 hours ago.
Exactly. That was
a whole other movie going on somewhere else.
Exactly.
That would be kind of a fun movie to have a lot of different.
That'd be funny to have like in a spoof movie where you got this. Yeah. This whole thing going on a plane, and then they look over a couple aisles.
There's a whole other movie
like
going
someone
on.
Someone else is having their own little scuffle.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I said, it's the Woo universe. So it's like a John Woo universe. Yeah, the Woo universe.
I like Woo universe.
I like Woo-niverse. That too.
Over there, you got Chow Yun Fat in another area, and Nicolas Cage in another scene with John Travolta. So, you know, it just happens.
So. The bad guy, Ethan, Dimitri, whatever we're calling him, he takes the case. So he thinks he has Chimera?
Chimera. He thinks and Bellerophon. Yeah. Yeah,
but all he has is Bellerophon.
Yeah.
Yes, but we don't know that yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that.
And he doesn't know that either.
He should check
also,
the satchel.
Also, who cares? Because, again, later on he goes to the... he's going to go and talk to the guy who has Chimera anyway. Was this a reaction to this? Is the whole point of this, if all had gone to plan, are they hoping that he has both the disease and the cure and that's it and he's done and he's ready to go?
Yeah, but what, I think so.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense because what was he going to do? He knew Biosite has both of these things also.
No, they don't have one of them. They only have the Chimera. I don't think they had the Bellerophon.
But yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They've only got the Chimera.
All right. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
So Docker was holding back. Like, he was the only one with Bellerophon?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's why he was...
They were looking for Bellerophon.
Is it?
I think the MacGuffin's mixed up. I think I don't understand what our bad guy was going to do with this if he got it on the plane and why he has to murder all these people. Spoilers.
Because I think he wanted to sell back the rights to Bellerophon to them. But
they have it.
No, I don't think they do. I think they only have Chimera.
That's weird, though.
Because that's why she injects herself in.
Do you think that's why he's able to get out of Biosite with Bellerophon? Because they're not looking for Bellerophon? Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
That works.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Dimitri asked him before about what was the other doctor's name? Doctor number two.
Gratzky.
Yeah. Gratzky, yeah. Maybe that's why he was asking him if Gratzky knew, because maybe Gratzky, if he knew, he might have told somebody. So he's trying to like see how controlled this information is about who knows about Bellerophon.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, this just took on a whole new layer. If Bellerophon is something they don't know that they have, that changes the MacGuffin in this movie. So, okay. Yeah. Guess we're going to have to find out.
It's all coming together.
Yep.
It's not coming together, Tabitha. It's getting worse.
It's all getting more complicated.
Apart. It's just going to get more complicated.
Yeah.
I had to concentrate so hard when I was watching this the other night, trying to trying to figure out what exactly they were trying to get with this virus and cure and how they were going to do it. And I still don't have it figured out.
You know what? Some of the other movies get made fun of because it's basically a big red button inside of a briefcase. But you know what? It's a lot easier to think about.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier just to be like, if this thing gets out in the open, this button, they'll use it to make a bomb go off. Perfect.
One, they had the whole bomb thing already. So they were like...
I mean, we have until the third act before we find out all the crazy stuff they want to do with Bellerophon and Chimera. It's going to be like, we want to buy stock... What? You're like, no. So that's gonna happen later. We'll save it for later. But
it won't affect. Yeah, us, the motivation. But our grandchildren will be set pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird move. It's very 2000 though.
Yes.
It's very. Let's invest in some IPO because in 2000 the bubble won't burst. It's gonna be awesome. We made it through Y2K. What else can go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing horrible could happen after this.
Well, this is our first minute with the mask, so I just want to... I know Mission Impossible 1 already introduced the whole mask thing, but I think with Chimera, that kind of brings in the fact that Chimera also is like a three-animal creature. It also talks about people that have Chimera with multiple DNA sets. I think there's some play there with the mask, too. Basically, I think you could look at Ethan as Bellerophon and this other bad guy as Chimera, especially by the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And if you think about it, the airplane is just a mask for all the people sitting on it.
They're all wearing masks at this point.
Yeah.
Well, now they're all wearing pee-pee masks. They're wearing masks inside of a giant mask that is keeping them all from dying from cold and lack of oxygen.
I don't know if their eyes change color with the pee-pee mask, though.
The pee-pee mask.
Oh, gross.
Gross.
That's awesome.
All right. This minute ends on a high note. We don't know who the bad guy is. We're going to find out next week. But unfortunately, the Carlisles aren't going to be with us because they've decided they don't want to continue hosting for the rest of the podcast. Jonathan said at the beginning... I'm not going to be on this show all the time. All right. That's fine. You know, I kind of planned this. This is how it was going to be. It was going to be us four, but oh well, that's fine.
I'm so sad. We have to do this UHF thing with Weird Al. Yeah, us hanging with Weird Al. That's what we're doing. Podcast.
Oh, he's going to be on it? Awesome. Can't
yeah,
wait.
Totally. Everybody should listen.
I'm sure if you reach out to him, he probably will.
Well, before we get to your plugs, let's talk about the most important thing of the week, which is the tech of the week. So here we go. You can say it if you want to yell it or whatever.
Tech of the week!
Now Tabitha's ready. Tabitha is stoked to talk about the tech of the week.
Stoked. Tech of the week.
Tabitha, go. Tech of the week.
Go. I'm still going to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me explain this to new people.
Okay.
And for you new people out there, tech of the week is when we take all the techs of the apps. You can either decide one of those techs becomes the tech of the week, or you can pick something from this today's episode, and it's the thing that best exemplifies this week and the best tech you think. And we might argue a little bit about which we all think is the best tech, but at the end of the day, everybody wins, and it's just a fun little game we play. Tabitha.
I'm going to go with the jet injection gun.
Yep. That injection gun is nice.
It is really nice.
It is nice. It's a great tech, and we see it again like twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
It becomes a big point at one point in one of the scenes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In one of the I'm sorry scenes. There are going to be a lot of I'm sorry scenes. Jonathan, what about you?
Oh,
I think I know what you're going to pick.
I really want to, it's not going to be my pick, but I just want to give a shout out to Stairs on a Plane. Whenever I see that in a movie.
I'm so tired of these damn stairs on these damn planes.
But yeah, it's always impressive. Like I've never been on a plane that big to actually have stairs and whatever.
That's true.
Anyway,
well, that's a nice shout out, but that's not your tech.
It's not my tech of the week. Tech of the week. I didn't even think about that. The gun is awesome.
You know what it is. Come on, you know what it is.
The amp building? Is that
No. I thought it was all about the mask.
Well, which mask? The real mask or
not the metaphorical mask?
Oh, okay. No, the mask is pretty good. The center tooth mask.
It's a great mask, and I love. It's not just the mask. It's the fact that Tom Cruise plays it like this.
Yeah.
And he's playing it like a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really impressive, yeah.
Is he spot on playing the bad guy? I don't know. But I like this Tom Cruise. Evil Tom Cruise is kind of fun.
He's sort of like Tom Cruise in Magnolia, Tom Cruise.
I like him a lot. I agree. Mask for me. It would have been the injection gun. But since we get the first peel off of the mask, I'm like, damn, it's so good. And it's so Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. So it's for me, it's the mask. Chris?
The mask.
The mask.
Yeah, the mask.
All right. So the mask is, unfortunately, I think the mask is going to win this week for tech of the week. So congratulations, mask.
Congratulations.
Yay, mask.
Yay. Yeah.
That's you are the yay.
Yeah,
mask, way to go.
Yay.
You're the tech of the week. You're the coolest tech this week. Well, since we're wrapping up with Tabitha and Jonathan this week, let's let them plug some of their stuff again. Otherwise, Jonathan's going to snap my neck. So that's what he told me at the beginning of this episode. So, Jonathan, tell us about some of the podcasts you're involved in.
ThePrincessBrideMinute.com. You can go there. All the stuff is there. The next thing that we're working on
as you wish.
UHF 60 Second, but that's UHF 62ND. It's kind of a pun, kind of a play on words. There's not too much UHF stuff out there, but that has, like, you know, any extra puns with it. So if you search UHF 62ND in just about anything, I think that's everything that we have. So Twitter, Facebook, UHF62ND.com, email address, all that stuff. It's fun. I don't know if we have any neck snaps. We do have some like neck twists in UHF, but I don't know about neck snaps. There's a lot of violence. Actually, if you go to our website, in the background, you'll see I put like a bunch of the clips of all the violence stuff on there, so it looks like a really cool action movie.
Okay. It is a cool action movie. It's just funny, too.
Yeah.
That's great. Tabitha, do you want anything? Promote anything?
I am just around. go find a friendly...
Hey, Tabitha is around, and she is looking to be on podcast.
I know, looking to be on podcast. If you need a guest, dial Tabitha. No, yeah, I'm around in Facebook chat groups. Oh my goodness, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
So, Tabitha's around in Facebook chat groups.
Facebook chat groups. If you don't have one, get one. And
That's awesome.
Be there.
Well, thank you guys for being on the first week. We really appreciate it. It's a great week to start with. It starts out bonkers. It's already gone off the rails. Who knows where we're going to go next? You can always talk to us about this on our Twitter account, which is Minute Impossible. Yeah, shoot. Which is Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible. And on our Facebook group, which is the Impossible Minute Force. Just look at look us up. You can also find our page with all of our episodes. Our website, MinuteImpossible.com, has all of our episodes from last season, which is 110 episodes, plus a couple of episodes where we talked about Fallout. And then this season is on there, too. So go listen there or anywhere you grab podcasts from the air and put them inside your brains. I'd like to say thank you, Chris, for joining me for another season.
Yes, of course.
It's going to be super fun. And I'm sure the Carlisles will be back.
Yay!
Oh, I'm sure they will.
More Mission Impossible too. And until next week. What?
Don't listen to him.
That's what I guess.
What did you say?
We'll have Tabitha back at least, right?
Yes.
We're going to have Tabitha back. We're having Tabitha back. She can get rid of that albatross around her neck. Until next week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Tabitha.
And I've been Jonathan.
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
The autopilot.